January meeting, and it should be January 2015. The January 2015 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission for the Town of Kiri Beach. First item is the approval of the agenda. The only suggestion I would make is change it to 2015.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay, is there a second?
Sorry.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, approval of the minutes from December 3rd. Just take a minute to look at them. Second is that the council made it quite clear that there should be public hearing involved with this. third is that they were looking for a formal recommendation from the P&Z.
And just for clarity's sake, has it gone from, I don't understand the broadness here, implications of traffic relative to business rentals, residential rentals. I mean,
It was only addressing the Highway 421 parking issue. The reason that I think it was written this way is that there was an expression of concern about the impact it would have on other areas.
Okay.
But the only thing that we're supposed to do is make a recommendation regarding the no parking or parking zones on 421.
So beyond those
as a matter of fact, it was my motion.
Right.
And so I can embellish on, because she's done the best she could of what I was asking. I was making the point that we constantly make decisions that fix one thing and screw up something else. Not intentionally, but we could go through repeated times. And I know that planning and zoning is responsible for on-property parking. Nobody's really responsible for 421 parking. We have to come up with a solution for that, except maybe council. And then the last item is if we do something on 421, that's going to have an impact one or two streets into the neighborhoods. Which is why I thought about, you got Tony who does on-street with Slap. We have you gentlemen who handle the on-property. But we also have five very smart men up here. And then we have Charlie's group who's trying to look at how traffic impacts arrest, maybe the back streets. And if we can get everybody to talk about their ideas, we may actually be able to come up with something. Maybe that even includes some level of paid parking, or I don't even know. Or maybe there should be some parking on 421 that's paid and downtown should be free parking. There are 50 choices. And we need 51% of the folks to be happy, right? 51% of the folks to be happy. We won't make everybody happy. And the thought was is that if we get the right people thinking about this in aggregate, the entire thing, our little parking lot out here, the free parking we have downtown, what do we want to do, and what would the implications be of allowing no parking on 421 down here, and then we get to the Curry Beach HRA prison. He says, well, I don't need parking on 421 up here either. And then you guys are stuck saying, okay, what does that mean to on-property parking? We've got a lot of people to put more cars on property. So that was my thought. This thing is broad. It's crazy. The answer is not two meetings away. So the only thought that I have is that every one of you is an experienced professional. You run businesses. You think deeply. You understand implications. And I thought that if the others are feeding data, we might be able to come up with a solution that may have to get tweaked that we could then roll out into the community. That makes sense. And that most people, I think, could be happy with. Too often it comes down to, that was your idea. And that can't be it. This has got to be a community effort. That was on my mind. But you guys are in charge of it. And I will help on Charlie's committee. And I talked to Tony constantly. I already told Tony about this. And I told Charlie about it. So, and Craig, if I can help either, if we need one to get guys together, if I can help in some way, not to be running it, but if I can help in some way to help you in scheduling things or whatever, you just tell me what you need and we can get it done.
Again, for a discussion among the group as to where we go from here, I would recommend, and this is kind of somewhat related to, I think, what we're going to talk about with the rental certificate too, is I think the starting point is probably to get some input from the public. Certainly we all have our general thing, but I don't live on 421, so it's just something I kind of hear. But I think the starting point for this is probably to have a kind of a town hall meeting that the public is invited, the interested public, as well as Tony's group, as well as Charlie's group, and we just kind of just talk about it. You know, I would see if that's the starting place, because I'd hate to spend a lot of time with the three commissions or committees, come up with a bunch of recommendations, spend hours and hours, and then get completely different feedback from the community. So that would certainly be my recommendation, is that we, you know, kind of have a town hall meeting that includes also the public, because there's an announcement or letters go out or emails or however you want to communicate to people, and, you know, have a town hall meeting about this particular issue. The only reason I mentioned that is I'm not sure how the rental certificate is going to go, and we'll talk more about that, but I do believe that we should also have a public hearing about that before we take it to town council, and it just would seem to me that we might want to do this all at the same time.
I actually think that's an element of the solution to the whole thing, because it has a bearing.
Right. In fact, one really kind of came from the other.
Yeah.
So, that's an issue.
And I don't know if you have anything in your background. Craig, I mean, you've lived in a lot of places. So I don't know if you have anything in your background where you've dealt with parking at this type of level, or seen anything out of the beaches in California, or...
They you have to pay for parking, and if you don't, if you get a ticket, you should pay $100. Mm-hmm. That's what it is in California these days. They don't fool around. Laguna Beach, I think, is a $100 parking ticket right now.
Ouch. What is it there, right, so?
Well, it depends on where you park. I got a $250 one time, but I deal with that.
I remember that one, yeah. Not to rub it in.
Sorry, it was a big thing for me at the end of the day.
And are some of the places in California that, you know, down near the beach area that are residential, and you have a permit to park in front of your house, if anybody else parks there, you'll get a ticket.
But it just seems to me these are all good ideas. I'm sure we could come up with good ideas, but it'd be nice if we had, I think, citizen input for people who actually live on 421 and are affected by this sort of thing, in addition to the two committees. So again, I would just recommend that we try to schedule some sort of town hall meeting on this, to get involved on this in terms of the direction that the council gave us. So any further discussion? Or?
Is this going to be a big enough room to do it in? I think there will be a lot of folks.
We could do it at the community center.
Sure. How many people we're really going to get, you know?
Yeah. You could start here and see what happens.
Yeah.
Be a good problem to have.
Yeah, if that's a big turnout, then surely there'll be another one.
Well, all I know is that when we talked a little bit about energy and the consequences of energy off the coast, we had 300 people here, so we should be...
Well, we've had some interesting things that we've presented that two people show up to.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. It's, actually, we're just following Obama's directions. So.
Is there any... I'll make a phone
call. We can't put a notice out. I don't think we should put a notice out and say, we're going to talk about curious parking and traffic.
No, I think it's got to be 421 specifically.
Right. Yeah. 421.
Yeah.
What does one of us need to do to lead that discussion, or have a little five-chart briefing to kick it off? Here are the issues. Here's what our point is tonight, and here's what we're going to talk about. It's not parking at Fort Fisher. It's not, you know, you need to constrain that balloon somehow.
Well, you need a good facilitator, and chairman showed himself to do that. Sure, he wouldn't turn down that role.
No, I think we can. As long as we have a map here, I think it would be important to have a map to show them what we're talking about, and then have Joe maybe talk about his discussions, and then maybe throw out some options. And I'm pretty sure it would open up into a fairly lively discussion afterwards.
Yeah. It would take on its own life very quickly. Right?
We just need to get it started. But
so we're all here on Tuesday, Wednesday.
I was actually thinking that maybe we should start at 6 o'clock prior to the next P&Z.
Take an hour to get up time if a lot of people show up.
Well, we can continue after. I mean, we don't have to start at 7. We can continue to delay our actual formal meeting.
I mean, you could just make it part of your formal meeting, but treat it as a special if you're going to go off schedule at 6.
Yeah, I'm...
Just notice it for, you know...
Or we could do it at 7, our regular time, but just simply notice it at 7.
You can... A lot of ways to approach it. I'm not sure what the correct way is, but you could even just put out something to the HOAs, John. We could put something on the thing asking people to come in and express their views on parking and traffic on 421 in the neighborhoods and on the beach. And then just let people come in and sign up for 3 minutes, like we do on other things, and let them say, I think parking in this town is atrocious. Right? I think we do too much free stuff. I think we... And let's listen to what they have to say.
I agree, but I think it's got to be focused on 421. I mean, clearly, and it's not just the HOAs. I don't think Curie Beach Village HOAs need something.
I do think we need to incorporate back in the neighborhoods, because this year, I noticed...
Okay.
You know, well, it does bleed back very quickly.
That's going to come.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just hit 421 first.
If the issue is parking, what do you people think about parking on 421? There are going to be some people that say, I don't want it because it's going to move traffic back and forth.
You have some dudes that shows up and says, we don't want it. And so anybody's going to come up and say, oh, it's important 100%. I'm going to get some negative feedback. That can be considered negative.
Well, I would make a motion that we have a we schedule as I think we ought to start at 6 because I think it could go on a little bit longer. But I would recommend that we schedule a public hearing and also invite SLAP and the Citizens Advisory Group starting at 6 o'clock for a discussion about parking on Highway 421. At 6 o'clock for our February, for our regular February Planning and Zoning Commission meeting.
It's February the 4th.
Be February the 4th, then, right?
I'll second.
Okay. The only further discussion I have is actually who do we want to communicate? Obviously, it would be, we probably need to have it posted in paper and as a public hearing. I mean, this. Mm-hmm. What would be the rules, given that this is not, it's more of a town hall meeting than a formal public hearing for an ordinance, so it's not, we're not quite, we don't have to follow quite all the rules. But
just the fact that you're changing the time, you're going to have to notice it.
Yeah.
Because you're starting at 6, so.
It is really quite simple. If you're starting at 6, it's a special meeting.
Okay.
If it's a special meeting, you got to post notice. That notice of a special meeting has to set out the purpose and has to, the agenda has to conform to that. Special meeting notice only has to go out 48 hours before, but if you're going to do a public hearing and that's going to be your purpose and in the agenda and you're going to put it in the paper, you can treat it just like a rezoning, you know, tend to publish it twice over 2 weeks, whatever the rule in your ordinance says.
I think calling it a special meeting will create more interest. Just have a sense of that.
But the fact it is nonetheless because you're moving off your 7 o'clock time, mm-hmm. which is your regular to 6, so that makes it special.
Right. The other thing, normally we like to contact individual homeowners. I'm not sure if we need to incur the expense of sending out mail to everybody, but do we have emails for a lot of people? And
have you got a sunshine list?
We have about 1,100 people on that get the email that goes out, you know, the town email that goes out. I think there's about 1,100 people that get that who have subscribed. We can also probably get something to the HOA presidents asking them to distribute it to their...
Okay.
And you could do newspaper, post it on the bulletin board, sunshine list, courtesy copies to HOAs, and SLAP and...
Town website.
The town website too. The newsletter that goes out. Mm-hmm. All right. So the motion, if I'd like to amend the motion to include contacting the individuals and groups that we just talked about. Is that okay with the second?
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, opposed? All right, good. Rental certificate. Last time we asked the attorney to look at it, tweak it, and come back with some recommendations, so.
I'll be glad to recommend that if you'd like.
Sure, absolutely.
And I apologize for getting it to you not ahead of time, but on your desk you should have a copy of it. It's got some red ink on the first page. The let's talk about several things, and let me make a general comment. If the commission wants to present it to the public, it can be done whenever you want. It's fairly close. It needs a few more tweaks, which we'll talk about in my comments. But my first comment is I have formatted it based on the different chapters in the town code. That's why chapter above and the blank spots in the article 1, 2, 3, and 4 are blank, because we don't know what the chapter number is. A lot of it was taken right from the chairman's proposed draft, example, findings of council. That's pretty much verbatim from the chairman's draft. The intent, which anything you do is to protect general health, safety, welfare, and morals. So section 2 reiterates that and sets forth that you're ordaining a permitting provision. At first, I didn't think we needed it, but the more I got into writing it, I feel, and you'll see this in the other chapters in the town code, I think you need some definitions. For example, it's very easy to use the language, just like the chapter title, Vacation Home Rentals, but we need to define probably what those are. I noticed in the file, when I was coming over here, that the chairman provided some California examples, and I imagine I can find some definitions in there. We'll have one or two more, but we'll speak about specifically when we get to it. Scope of the chapter, again, that's right from the chairman's draft. Permit required. That's the crux of the matter. Page 2, Article 2, application. I kind of shortened the text for agency, whether they're a contact person or a representative or an agent, if they're authorized to do whatever, they end up being an authorized agent. So we just simplified the language for that. Application fee, board commission needs to decide on that. It was my recommendation that you do provide for one that would be established by the town. It's the commission's pleasure whether the public's feedback, whether to leave that in or not. Application for permit, again, that's pretty much from the chairman's draft. The I kind of combined some things. A good example would be I, right at the bottom of the page. Assigned certification by the applicant, and I use the word applicant because it could be the owner or it could be the authorized agent, that the submitted application is accurate and truthful. It's a basic verification. Provisions of the chapter, this chapter that we've got in our hand, will be complied with. A copy of the permit conditions set forth below, be posted in the vacation home, and which would save us a lot of time and trouble if they sign off on it. And again, this was from the chairman's concept, that the owner consents to and authorizes members of the town staff to enter onto the premises and into the home to investigate and review complaints. Boy, if you can get that, they'll sign off on that. That'll save you a lot of headaches down the line.
Well, was that my original one? I don't think that was the bill. Again, I kind of commented on this. But that's great, okay.
Permit conditions. Now look, here's where I have my problem. The permitting is intended to reduce the problems you got with vacation home rentals. But you can't issue a citation to the owner for the bad things that the occupant might do. You can only enforce against the owner for different things. And really, the owner can't be responsible for how somebody else acts. So if you realize that you're not going to cite the owner who rents to John when John leaves rubbish in the yard, that's really not the owner's wrongdoing. So you have to rethink how you're going to hold the owner responsible under the ordinance. And so I took this approach. Again, It was borrowed from the chairman, but it kind of broadened it a little bit.
Can I jump into that? I don't see why that's a problem, because I own a number of rental homes. Mm-hmm. And if I have a renter in there that throws trash out and leaves a bunch of trash outside, I'm responsible for that. I mean, I can get on his case.
Well, you're the property.
But I get a letter and I get a fine from the city.
Sure, maybe under the code, but are you going to be responsible for the occupants breaking out a hash pipe and smoking drugs? I don't know that the code would reach you in that instance.
Well, offenses are two totally separate things, though.
Well, again,
that's a yearly bill, right? Correct.
Yeah, but it would also apply.
But you make a good point. There are some things under the code that the property owner is always responsible for.
Right.
Noxious.
You know, things related to the property.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
but you're also trying to mitigate some activity as set out in those findings that is more than a condition on the property. Disorderly conduct, illegal parking. Are you going to make the owner responsible for illegal parking?
Parking came on my mind just as you were talking about that other thing. Saying, how do you?
So that's the tension here. Now, let me, with all due respect, let me tell you how I approach that problem, and maybe we can determine if that's correct or we need to take a different tack. A, vacation homeowners and their agents shall provide in their rental agreements what the maximum number of overnight occupants should be, and that's the same as the maximum number set forth in the permit. That's all self-explanatory, and I don't think there's any burden on the vacation homeowners to put that into their rental agreements. One question I had is, what is a studio? Do we have a definition for that in the ordinance, or what was...
I mean, I know what a studio is, so we don't find any definition for it. Then.
Just a layman's concept?
It's a one-room apartment, is what it amounts to.
One-room, okay.
Well, it's what's run, it's where the people sleep in the living room, basically.
It's a crash pad.
But the normal understanding about it.
Yeah.
Can you attach fines to the deposit?
Can you attach fines to...
Because you talked about how you...
They're not doing a deposit. They're actually doing an application
fee.
$50.
I was talking about your other comment. I'm sorry. Digress. We'll talk about that later.
B, vacation homeowners and their agents shall provide in the rental agreements that vacation homes shall not be used for any commercial activities. I got in, and it gave some examples, weddings, receptions, and large parties. I'm not sure what the initial draft contemplated by that. For example, I rented a vacation home on the beach and had my wedding reception there. I don't know what would make such a thing commercial. Mine certainly wasn't commercial, and it wouldn't be a violation of my agreement.
That issue is when somebody comes in, a business person from downtown who does weddings. They rent a place for a week specifically, and then they charge somebody else to have a wedding there.
So there are situations where that's rented for more.
Yeah,
than
it actually happens a lot.
For more than
I'm not sure how much it happens here, but I know it happens a lot in California. You know, right by the beach, because there's some things at the beach. People come in, they rent it, and then they break off. But then 100 people then show up. And they're getting paid, so part of the rental that they're paying is actually being charged to the people who are putting together the wedding.
Well, that makes sense. I was thinking that if somebody had a reception one afternoon...
That wouldn't be commercial because they're not making money.
If even a commercial for one afternoon but not another consecutive day, that wouldn't be a vacation home rental because it's just that one afternoon. But it's... You've helped explain that by saying there are instances where it could go on for consecutive days.
Or even if they did rent it for one day, that still would classify it. As long as it's under 30 days, if somebody comes in and rents it for one day...
Well, that's true.
...and then charges, to have a wedding or something like that, that's still a commercial activity.
Well, that's just not going to happen in any of the properties that we're talking about. But the minimum they're going to rent for is 3 nights,
right,
even in the off-season. Right. So usually, if there's a wedding party that's coming in like that, they're coming in for an extended weekend or the whole week, one or the other. And then, you know, probably 2 days out of the week, there's going to be a large gathering.
Which we say is okay, but if it's done for commercial purposes.
Right. It's where somebody would rent it and then turn around and re-rent it, basically, for a commercial activity.
That's why I say on the first page that one of the words I need to, one of the terms I should define is commercial activities, and that'll take care of that. Now here, it's C where we start picking up that tension that we were exploring. Vacation homeowners and their agents shall take reasonable steps to ensure that their occupants are not violating any yada, 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 ordinance, rule, statute, including about limitation, engaging in disorderly or illegal conduct, activities creating unreasonable noise and disturbances, allowing excessive accumulation of garbage and rubbish, illegally parking their vehicles, and overcrowding the premises. Second paragraph, as used herein, reasonable steps which vacation owners and their authorized agents must take shall be construed to mean about limitation. And again, you're trying to hold the owner responsible. You're talking about slapping a penalty on the owner to create the deterrent effect to reduce the problems you've got with vacation rentals. We don't have a problem above where they put the stuff that we want in their agreements. What I'm suggesting, and again, it's just a knee-jerk suggestion, we can explore it. But one of the reasonable steps would be, one, posting a copy of the permit in these conditions in a conspicuous place. That's good. If they don't do that, they violated the ordinance. Promptly contacting the occupants when notified, doesn't say who notifies them, that they are violating the provisions of this chapter, requesting that they cease and desist and not reoccur. Contacting law enforcement when notified of alleged criminal activity or when a reasonable person would deem the assistance of law enforcement to be necessary. And expressly providing for the termination of a vacation home rental in the event the occupants are engaging in any of those. And the list goes on. That was my stab, my first stab at trying to create a framework that would obligate the owners or their agents in rental situations, as opposed to some instances where you're trying to possibly hold the owner or their agent responsible for the actions of others. I agree with you that in some instances, with respect to maintenance of property and conditions on the property or public nuisances, sure, I think you can go against the owner, but I think there may be other examples which are not quite in that realm where it may be more difficult to proceed against the owner for the actions of others.
Well, those are the main things we're trying to hit, are the nuisances, the rubbish, the parking, and things of that nature. But, I mean, the whole point of this from the beginning was to attempt self-regulation.
Right, right. I mean, it's...
And I think this looks pretty good. I mean, I'm...
Yeah, we're just trying to...
I'm not real excited about it, but...
I'm trying to scare people to some extent.
Right,
I mean, the fact that it's in here... I mean, number four is pretty easy. You know, when people put together a lease agreement, in the lease agreement, you're going to have that if they violate things that in the lease agreement, they can be kicked out. So number four is actually pretty easy to deal with.
Number one's a no-brainer.
Number one, and, you know, number two and three, when you start using words like promptly and stuff like that, it really is more of a push to encourage certain types of behaviors rather than, I think, enforcement. But I have to, again, I have to think, you know, your example, if I'm in a town and my house is a drug house, okay, where it's behavior, I mean, it's still attractive and things like that, but the police have to show up all the time and, you know, and bust and things like that, I would almost guarantee you that I can be held responsible.
Sure, in that instance, but one-time scenario, I'm not sure. I don't do criminal law. You could be absolutely right.
Yeah.
We can talk to
them. I don't think I'd be criminally responsible, but I'd be responsible under some nuisance type.
Yeah, I mean, maybe what we need to do is go back to page one, list all these things, and say the council finds that these are nuisances. And then if you've got all those things that we don't want characterized as a
nuisance.
Then I think you got a clear path to the owner.
I've been there before where I've sat there and tried to write several citations for different things and either send them to the homeowner or give them directly to the
occupant.
Real estate company that's providing the service. And I had them delivered right back to my office. And, you know, if this is going to be a first attempt at self-regulation, and as far as all the responsibility falls on the homeowner, I'm all for it, because we're not going to get anywhere otherwise, if you ask me. I mean, if it jeopardizes their right to make an income off their vacation property in our town, they're going to make damn sure their property is well-maintained and in accordance with the ordinances.
So are you suggesting that the language stay the same or that we take a different approach?
I kind of like what you've written. Yeah. I don't like the whole idea in general, but I feel like something has to, we've got to try something at least once.
And I did draft the chairman with the understanding that it's the ordinance itself that's designed to have really the primary deterrent effect.
Right, you know, it's, you know, yes, it's a self-regulating type of process, and
it can't hurt.
It's probably going to address maybe 1% of the problems, but, you know, again, that's what most ordinances try to do. They try to address the ones that try to take advantage of the situation.
Well, and let's revisit that, but let me finish by turning to the last page. Civil penalties. In my research, I found a very interesting provision. Unless you word it, whenever you set up an ordinance, you can make the violation of it a misdemeanor or a civil penalty in the nature of the debt. And I found a couple of very interesting cases, North Carolina cases, that unless you use the right language, the proceeds that a municipality gathers as civil penalties for ordinance violations actually goes to the county school board. You have to use magic language to keep the proceeds for yourself. And the magic language is set forth in A. Violation of this chapter shall not constitute a misdemeanor or infraction. In other words, you have to expressly decriminalize the violation as one element to keep the proceeds. And then subject the permit holder to a notice of a civil penalty in the nature of the debt. That'll keep you, that language allows the town to keep the proceeds. The rest of it is right off of the chairman's draft verbatim. My question is, do you want somebody that gets to the fifth step as an obvious troublemaker? Do you want to give them that many bites at the apple?
Can we stop somebody from using your property for renting by, if they violate, you can withdraw their application?
Well, look down.
Can we do that legally?
Well, we can, the fifth violation results in the revocation, but if you look at D, and again, this gets back to typical nuisance enforcement, you know, if you don't cut your weeds and you don't let me on the property to cut your weeds, I'll go to court and get an abatement or an injunction, an equitable remedy, slap those costs on you, and if you don't pay them, that's a lien on the property. So D allows you to stop it, to shut it down short of, like an abatement, short of the revocation itself. That the fifth step leads to. So one way or another, you're going to get there. I just wonder if you want to give somebody that has graduated to the fifth step five different bites of that apple within a year. It may never come up.
It's trying to catch the real true nuisance that way, give you the chance. And I do think you can certainly restrict people's right to rent. Hundreds and hundreds of communities have this, and I know I've got rental properties in communities that if I don't follow the rules, they'll pull the certificate from me and I can't rent.
Yeah, that's what number five said. Yeah. And then I borrowed from some other sections of the code. If you get the civil penalty paid within 72 hours, town attorney and finance officer can go file small claims or whatever to try to collect. And that notwithstanding all that black and white language, you can also go to the court for your equitable remedies. 11 is the administrative hearing. That's your due process requirement. Again, I borrowed that from another section of the code. And driving over here, I realized I need to revise the first sentence right at the end of that first sentence. For paying the civil penalty, I'm going to insert, or in the event of a permit revocation, comma, then the alleged violator can request a hearing before the hearing officer. Frankly, I don't know who your hearing officer is. I need to talk to Andy about that. And if we ever get to that point, Andy, the town attorney, will review all this anyway. My question for you is short of the short of any changes, you would instruct me to insert, and short of the definitions, which I think need to be added, is this... Oh, I had one other question. I'm sorry. Page 2, at the bottom, H, valid transient occupancy tax registration certificate. Is that, I don't know what that is.
I put that down because I wasn't quite sure what that's called, but that's to make sure that if they are renting it, that they're going to pay the transient taxes.
Do you?
And I don't know the actual.
We have ROT tax. Same difference, but I'm sure they can bring in a copy of their tax statement or something. I don't know if they actually have a certificate they have filed.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what the wording would be, but it's to make sure that they do pay the transit taxes. Yeah.
Do you need to have...
What's it called? Resident occupancy tax?
Yeah. Do you need to have... John, I'm not sure. Maybe it should be. Do you need to have a number, like a tax number, when you go ahead and you file your ROT? If you have ROT due to the county, is there some type of number you have or an account?
I'm not sure.
So getting back to my questions, does the commission approve of this approach with the provision of the definitions and tweaking the administrative hearing to cover permit revocations and to change the occupancy tax to resident occupancy tax?
Do you need us to approve it? Because I would certainly recommend that before we approve anything to pass on to the council. The council is expecting this. You know, I've already told the council that we're working on this. They're the ones that said, yeah, absolutely, go ahead and work on it. Work on it where it's more of a self-enforcement type of process. So the council is expecting this, but I know if we go to the council without having some sort of public hearing, that it's going to
be... Oh, yeah, that's fine.
There's got to be... So do we approve it prior to having our town hall meeting, or do we just kind of leave it like this and leave it open for a town hall meeting?
I think you could go... I mean, if you want to see changes, it's just primarily the insertion of the definitions. I think we all know what the ordinance is designed to do. I could circulate it too. I could make those definition changes. We can go any way you want. We can come back next month and look at a revised chapter, a revised document that would be revised primarily only with respect to the definitions, unless you have further instructions. Or if you want to have that public hearing.
Yeah, I think this is fine for a public hearing. I mean, this is just like minor tweaking. Yeah. You know, but
I'm not sure. I think there's one question on this, if I could ask you, and that is, this is all fine if I have said I will abide by applying for the application. Is there anything in here that says if you don't go for an application and get caught, is that part of the civil penalties? Or, because I would assume that somebody says, well,
it's a violation of the ordinance, because page 1 tells you.
Okay.
Any person intending to engage in a vacation home rental shall, prior thereto, file an application and obtain a permit. So if you go to your remedies,
okay,
he's going to get a notice of violation for his first violation. Okay. Definitely violated by...
So if they rent it without the certificate, that starts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's number 1 of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Well, going to the public hearing part, council's got this on their retreat for the 26th.
This?
Yes.
How did it get on the retreat?
I don't know. I was a little surprised you didn't know. talk about it at the retreat. So you might just leave it alone and wait for the retreat and go from there. The other thing that I wanted to say was that I think this should go in Chapter 19 so that anytime there's any changes from here on out, there will be a mandatory public hearing for it. Additionally, there is a catch-all in Chapter 19 that if anybody violates anything in Chapter 19 whatsoever, they're subject to a $50 civil citation per day, per occurrence. Mm-hmm. If they violated the ordinance. So.
I personally would recommend that the council not talk about this, spend a lot of time during the retreat, because we're still in the process of fleshing it out, and it would be good to have a public hearing of some sort.
The thought was that we have our next, I'm a little bit responsible for that, we can take it off the agenda. Thought was is that you'd be mentioning something about this potentially at our very next council meeting, which is going to be the third Tuesday, which is prior to
the retreat.
The retreat.
Oh, okay.
So the thought was is that if you're going to say something, we better talk about it at the retreat. If you're not going to show anything at that particular council meeting, then we should discuss it at the retreat.
Yeah,
anything to talk about.
I mean, I'm doing all the talking here, but it seems to me that I would be very hesitant to go to the council without having had some sort of public hearing. Because it may or may not be controversial. I mean, there may be absolutely no controversy about this whatsoever. Or you might have a whole bunch of property owners here sitting there, you know, yelling and screaming. I mean, I just don't know. I mean, it wouldn't bother me as a, you know, again, I've got rental properties and I have no problem with this. This is not nearly as strict as some other ones I have to deal with.
The other thought I had is that maybe you want to know if council thought you're on the right path.
This is the direction the council gave us. So,
yes, true. But I think, you know, you've heard Dave have some things about that. I mean, from my perspective, I think you're on the right path.
Well, okay. I mean, we could present this as is, even without any sort of a approval process, just simply as it is right now. I can, you know, we could present it to the next council meeting and say, here it is. This is what we're working on, and
we're going to have a public hearing.
Or do you want to talk about it? Is that, you know, that way we don't have to flesh out any sort of approval process right now.
Right.
Just simply the commission, if that's what the commission wants us to do, is, you know, I'll just take it to the council. This is simply say this is an intermediate process. This is where we're at. If you'd like us to go forward, we'll hold a public hearing and come back with a formal proposal.
Let me know what you'd like. Well, I guess you're going to vote on
it.
Then I'll vote. Should take it off our agenda or not?
We could, using this as a super draft, email it to the council members. Tell them that. Because if you just hand it out on the 17th, I think it is, they're not going to sit there and violate it. Email it to them with a little note and say, this is first draft. If you want to talk about it at council, a member or two will be there. And we saw it on your off-site agenda, so they may want to just table it at the council, have it in their computer, and talk about it at their off-site.
Send it to the council. I'll plan on being there, and, you know, I'll do a short presentation about what we're trying to do and remind the council that they're the ones that asked us to do this in this particular perspective, and this is what we've been working on. And, I don't see any problem with that.
I hope you understand again. I think I asked this question 2 months ago. Where is the ordinance, or what is the information that covers the second month and the third month instead of just 30 days of vacation home? If I rent my place out for 60 days,
if it's rented for more than 30 days, it's considered vacation.
I think that's actually the definition from the state as far as short-term rentals is 30 days or less. It's considered a short-term rental.
That's consistent throughout the United States.
Is that what we need to call it, short-term rentals instead of vacation home rentals?
That's fine.
I believe that's the state definition is what it is.
What are the rules governing long-term rentals?
Well, I was thinking about that during the discussion. You know, 99% of our problems are with the weekly rentals or short-term rentals. Once again, I'm not a huge fan of going this route, but if we're looking at people doing you know, self-regulation, then I think it's a good ordinance for that. And if it appears to be a problem with long-term rentals too, it could very easily be applied to long-term rentals also. With a couple of sentences.
Long-term rentals kind of falls under your jurisdiction, right? Because if they don't the yard, you get on them. If they have trucks parked in the yard or the boat's not right, then actually your U.S. code officer engage them. But we don't engage you and don't wish to engage you in short-term.
Well, I think that's a noble rule.
And for the transient tax, that's only applied to the short-term rent, too.
That's correct.
Yes. So if you do it for 60 days, you don't have to pay the
transient tax. So if I lease my house for 3 months,
you don't have to pay transient tax?
I don't have to file a form, get a permit.
Not according to this.
Wow.
Well, Mr. Chairman, whatever the commission decides, I do think that I need to get you and Ms. Fitzgerald or Nancy a slightly revised revision. I think that if it's called short-term rental in the statutes, I'd like to make that change in this document. I think it'd be consistent.
I guess I got a question. We keep calling it self-governing, but how is this self-governing?
Well, you don't do what the ordinance says, and you're going to have some fines.
But let's say...
Well, I've got disgruntled neighbors who don't like to rent the people next door.
Well,
these are all the questions I've got. Come on.
Sure.
The disgruntled guy next door doesn't like the people renting that place, and he calls a complaint. Who's the authorized...
Well, I think we all know who that's going to be.
Well, it's not specified. It says any authorized town staff.
Whoever council deems as the appropriate personnel.
Who could it be? It's kind of vague. And then it's not self-governing anymore. Someone has to go in and enforce it. Because how do you find somebody?
Well, there's no way to do it.
$250 or that, if it's, you can't do it on the word of a neighbor or a person across the street. This guy finds his, there's 7 cars there. It's not really self-governing.
It is up to a point. Hopefully we'll never get to that point.
Yeah, because you know, it's self-governing in the sense that many of these certificates require, before a certificate is issued, somebody from the town enter the premise to make sure the fire extinguishers are there and all that sort of thing. None of that is in here. So it's self-governing until there is a sufficient complaint, and then somebody will have to enforce that. You know, but that would be done anyway.
Not for the residential houses. I think their insurance regulates more than anything.
But I mean, we can't go in and tell them. They're in violation of their insurance company, not the town ordinance. Does the town have an ordinance that says they have
to fire? I think it'd be more along the lines of me going in there checking how many beds and bedrooms there are.
That's it.
And parking spaces is what it would come down to.
I'm going to guess that the majority of the complaints are because the people are transient and pretty noisy.
Noise and trash.
Noise and work. And it's
parking and it's parking and trash more than anything.
This, I think, just gives another bit of enforcement power when there is a complaint. That's all. I mean, it's nothing really more than that. It's got to put people on notice that, you know, there's another way of enforcing complaints regarding noise and parking and trash. I mean, those are the three major issues.
So I've got the rental house, and I got a neighbor I'm getting along with, and I get violations because I got one extra car parked on the street 5 times, or even up to the $250 fine. Is the appeal process with the town, or is it a court? Is it simply a court that appeal your fine?
No, you can have that administrative hearing with the town.
We actually do have that process, and we do have a hearing officer.
We do.
His name's Troy Slaughter.
Huh.
And remember, that would be, I mean, these are short-term
sorry,
rentals.
Sorry, Joe.
That's fine.
I just remembered I've only ever had one hearing.
Because I'm glad we got one.
And then 2 hours to pay the fine.
Well, that's
just... There's just little things that don't need to...
That's just a suggestion. That's actually lifted from the general provisions of the town code. That's in another instance.
I've done a lot of public hearings, and that's going to be... they're going to dwell on that one.
Every bit of this is going to be a hot topic.
But that's not gospel. Commission can tell me to make it 48. Commission can tell me to make it twice as long. It doesn't matter to me.
Do you have any better suggestions for how to go about this?
I always kind of think of how we can ease into it. It wouldn't have any teeth then if you just started with the permitting process, the documentation of the parking. Then if you've got complaints about parking, okay, now we've got some issues. And if it didn't work, we could revisit it with the substantial fines and that process. I'm just thinking of how you're gonna have a room full of disgruntled.
There's no doubt.
People own these properties, who rent them.
Fortunately, the governing board's responsibility is policy, and yours is to recommend, so that's really not your headache. If they see those as being problems, they can take whatever. They're the legislative body responsible for deciding whether to adopt that policy or how to implement it. But your points are well taken, and that they'll influence how the commission wants to proceed.
I don't see a big issue with this. I mean, this is not onerous. I mean, apply for a permit. This is a 5-minute effort to fill out this application. A 5-minute effort. Nothing complicated. My name, the address, parcel number. I mean, I might have to look it up. Number of bedrooms. Okay. A signed statement that the vacation home is compliant with all applicable building, technical, and safety codes. That's one that might be a little difficult there. Sketch plan, I'm not sure about that one. Statement as to whether the subject property has a hot tub, that's pretty easy. Whether I've gotten a whatever certificate. I mean, this is a 5-minute application.
What happens to the guy who's got 10 bedrooms and he's got 4 parking spaces? What do we do then?
It's his problem.
Do you not allow him to rent more than 4 parking
spaces? We're hoping that he will strongly encourage his renters not to drive any more than 4 cars, otherwise he's going to be facing a fine.
You know what well, I do is 10 bedroom houses out there.
Sure.
That have no town right away, they have nothing, only have 20 feet in their front.
And those are the ones that create a lot of the problems.
Well, what's the enforcement? Well,
I mean, they're basically mini hotels.
I mean, what is there? Are we going to say you can only have 4 cars then?
Whatever dirt parking is provided as a house.
Yeah.
That's why we have required parking. And then they go in there and they put sleeper sofas and everything else all over the rec room. I mean,
I don't disagree.
I mean, like I said a couple of times, I don't really like this, and I'm saying that over and over again because when council asks me, I'm going to tell them I don't really like it. But at the same time, it is a problem. And
well, I mean, if you don't like it, because that presented a problem last time.
That's exactly okay. What I'm telling you.
Then you have to come up with a solution. Uh-huh. I mean, you have to come up with a better
recommendation. What I'm saying is, I understand that there's a need for something like this.
Okay.
I do.
So if you're going to say that, then I have to give you a better recommendation.
If there's a need, then that infer that you do like it. If you
recognize or come up
a need,
with a better recommendation.
You don't have to like something to know that it's needed.
Then come up with a better recommendation.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. If you're going to go say it, you don't like it. You have got to come up with a better recommendation. And we've got to consider it. And then, if we don't agree with you, then that's a legitimate thing to say to council. But I do have a problem with you going to the council saying you don't like it when you haven't come up with a recommendation.
Well, no, you don't like the whole part that you're going to have to, you're the guy that's going to have to go in and enforce this whole thing.
Not necessarily. I know that's inevitable no matter what.
Yeah.
Okay.
If council makes that part of my job description, so be it. Whatever. I'm here to please council.
I'm going to make a motion that we table this to our next meeting in anticipation of John's recommendation.
I say it with John. I'm not a big fan of the site.
No, that's not
bad.
I want you to understand where I'm coming from.
Much better.
I'm a big property rights person. I believe you should be able to.
I'm going to economist, and I have to say this right now. In fact, I write an editorial. There's been a misunderstanding of what is meant by property rights. Property rights to economists, legal, doesn't mean you can do whatever you want to do with your property. What property right means is you have title to your property, you can sell that property, you can borrow against that property. The idea of the use of property rights means that you can do or maximize your income with the property. That is not a view of what's called property rights. That was created about 30 years ago, that notion, by the real estate industry. Property rights do not mean that. We have a lot of properties. You have a car, that's a property. You own title to a car. You can't do whatever you want to do with that car. Intellectual property and everything like that. Property rights mean that you have an ownership and title of that. You can trade, sell that particular thing. Doesn't mean you can do or maximize your income on that particular property. I mean, if that's what you want to do, don't call it a property right. You know, but, you know, there's nothing that says that represents what you can do here. I mean, I've got rental properties. I've got 10 different rental properties in different cities. And, you know, I try to maximize them, but I try to maximize them absolutely within the rules and regulations, you know, provided that by that particular town. And several of the towns have much more aggressive certification processes and certificates than this. So, you know, I mean, if we want to go to the anarchy route and simply say, yeah, let people do whatever they want to do, you know, I mean, that's fine.
Craig, I'm not trying to argue with you. I'm just saying, you know, I know this is the problem. I know it is. Maybe this isn't the best fix. Maybe it is. I have no idea. I'm willing to give it a try.
Well, yeah, I don't want to go and be embarrassed like I did before.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go stand before the council. And, you know, if we approve this, we take it forward, stand before the council and have you say that this is not what you want to do or have. You know, I mean, I do have a problem with that. So if there isn't a consensus or an agreement on the part of everybody to go forward as a consensus to the council, then I suggest we just table this.
John, let me ask you this. When you say you don't like it, can it be stated, I'm sorry we have a need for this, I'm sorry it's come to this? Is that?
That's more or less where
I get. Is that your dislike?
Yeah, I hate that we even have to go to this, but it's obviously becoming a bigger problem year in, year out.
But we need it.
I'm saying, I think we need something.
Then I've got a motion. And it is a motion, and once it's made a motion, it becomes part of it. You know, I can't withdraw the motion. It's now part of the commission here. If anybody wants to second it, and that motion is to table this until you come up with a better recommendation, in anticipation of you coming up with a different recommendation that you would support at our next meeting.
Let's discuss that a minute before we second, because we could be sitting here next February. John still had to come up with another recommendation.
Then I assume that this would be the best.
I'm not going to come up with a recommendation. I mean, that's what y'all are here for. And I hope council wouldn't take the fact that I just don't like it into being, because really they should be taking every one of y'all's opinions over mine, really.
That's one point. It's fair for John to say, look, I think there's a need for something. I don't have a better solution.
That's a different statement than what John was going to say.
No, I think John has said that. I think John has said that he wishes it wasn't the need to regulate this, but that the regulation does need to be made, and that this is as good an attempt as any.
If that's how it's phrased, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, if you say, I don't,
but I didn't think that's how you phrased it.
If you say, I don't like it, the interpretation can easily be said, I don't like the work y'all have done for the last...
I don't like it because I hate we're having to come to this. How about that? Is that better?
No, that's okay. And I don't... and I would kind of disagree. I mean, I've been on many planning commissions for 30-some-odd years, and it's perfectly appropriate to ask staff to come up with recommendations. In fact, you go to any planning commission, staff actually probably comes up with most of the recommendations. So I don't see any problem with that. And I have yet to hear in my life when a planning commission goes to do a presentation to a council that those administrators of the planning commission stand up and disagree with the council. At the council, from the council. I've never heard that. So
except once.
And so that's what I'm trying to avoid here, is that, you know, that this is the place that we hash out all those differences. So there's a common voice when it goes to the council.
Well,
now, the council may turn it down. That's perfectly fine.
As I told you before, I told you I'd let you know otherwise, and that's what I'm doing now. And
okay.
It's not like it was before. I understand the need for it. I just hate this going that route.
So you're not going to have a better recommendation?
No, I thought the recommendation should come from five members, not just one. It's going to be all right, Craig.
I think it's a very loaded...
He wants to ask you, thank you.
It's a very loaded statement when you make that short statement.
Right.
I don't like it. That's super loaded.
I hear you.
And I wasn't at the last meeting, but...
So, I won't just say that I don't like it.
Yeah, I think...
I'm not afraid of that, you know, I don't like that we've come to this point, but what we've done here is the best way to deal with it. I have no problem with that, and I agree with that. But that's
John,
not how you phrased it.
I think John regrets the need for regulation in this instance, but recognizes that it's come to that point and is as comfortable with this approach as any other approach, or maybe better than most. I mean, that's what I heard him say. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth, but... If he agrees with that statement, I think we have a consensus.
That's what I was meaning.
Okay.
So if we get a second to your motion and at least three of us vote against it, then that dies?
For lack of a second, it dies. Okay, do I hear a second? Okay, the motion dies. Is there another motion?
Oh, I would like to go back before making the motion.
You
go back to the 30 days again. And in the comment down in the scope of the chapter number 4, any property owner renting out their residence for 30 consecutive calendar days or less.
Okay, it's 4. Well,
okay, I get it.
Well, what I would.
If
it's actually a short-term rental and we provide for that definition, then the scope of the chapter is any property owner engaging in a short-term rental. If there is a statutory, I wasn't aware of that until John mentioned it, if there is a statutory definition that fits this, then we ought to set it in here and ride on those coattails so that everybody is on the same page language-wise.
But that's if I rented it for 2 weeks to Craig, and then the agency rented it 3 weeks to John, it rented 5 weeks consecutively, but it was to two short-term guys. So I would be a property owner renting it for more than 30 consecutive days. I'm not doing the form, I'm not doing the...
That's a good catch.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say 30 consecutive days, two to one individual or two an entity.
Yeah, you're right.
That's good.
So somebody just rents their house once or twice a year. We're going to try to go after them. You know, somebody owns one of the old houses at Hampton Beach, rents it to some fishing buddies, $200 for 3 days.
Yeah, it needs a definition.
Yeah. This board, I mean, be able to be really good.
Technically, they should pay a transit tax.
Enforce it. You know, they live in Clinton. They don't even know what's going on in this.
Well, I don't think it's going to be enforced because we're not riding around checking our homes.
Okay. Sure.
But
taxation without representation.
If the police were called there for some reason, then noise, trash, auto accident, why are you guys in this house? I said, well, we rented it for 3 days. Then where is your permit? Where is your... But I don't see it being a stopping
point. No, this is not a stopping
point. I've got one question for James on what you have tonight. Item 4 on page 4, $1,000 fine. The minutes from last month, you made the recommendation to reduce the maximum to 500.
That, I'm glad you mentioned that. To make a long story short, I also represent Delville, and we're doing parks and rec ordinance. Parks and Recs ordinance, they're having a big debate about whether to make it criminal or civil. And I had to do some additional research. And when I got into the fine teeth of it, I found out that if it's purely civil penalties in the nature of the debt, which is the magic language, that really you can set whatever amount you want, and it can also be discretionary in the way that you have it provided. So, appreciate you following up.
Somebody else want to make a motion?
Right now, Mr. Eldridge is going to redraft comments provided to you.
Well, we need to have a motion to decide what to do. I mean, one, we could table it and then get the redraft and talk about it again in our February meeting. We could just take this as it is without any of the fine-tuning, and I could present it to the council, next council meeting. They can talk about it at their retreat. You could have Mr. Eldridge tweak it, send it to me, and then I can present that to the council.
And to...
we could adopt some of the recommendations and then hold a public hearing. So there's a couple of those. There's different options that we could...
If I could follow up on what you mentioned. Chairman's right. We can do any of those, including approving a motion to... do whatever you want to do with this as revised, because the revisions are very simple. I think I'm going to change vacation home rental to short-term rental. Change, make it the residency occupancy, resident transient occupancy tax, and include a revocation event in the administrative hearing. But those are the only changes. So, Chairman's right. You can go one of those four ways. The subjective comment I will make, if you all feel that this is the direction you want to move in and you want public feedback and all that is pursuant to council direction, subjectively, I'm not sure you want to give it to council prematurely because it may change everything. They might look at this, they might look at that, as opposed to concluding your assignment and taking the results of that back to them. So if you table it for the revisions to talk about at your next meeting, as I understood from the liaison, it would be on the agenda of the retreat.
My own personal opinion is I think that if it goes to the council, one of the issues that's going to come up is, you know, what are all the people that own rentals are going to say? And we have no way to respond to that, okay? I personally think that we may end up with three people here, because I don't think it's that onerous. Or we may end up with 50 people here. I don't know. But not having the opportunity for a public hearing response before we go to council, I think is a little bit dangerous. Because I think we can't answer then one of the most fundamental questions that the council is going to ask, is what's the public going to feel about this? The people that are property owners. So my own personal recommendation is to hold a public hearing on this, possibly even the same during our February meeting when we talk about the other one.
And if you take that approach, we don't necessarily need to. We can do that with a revised version like I just described or with what you got, because we know in the end if we want to go forward, we're going to make those changes. It doesn't matter.
And I don't think there's any real hurry because, you know, we're out of the summer now. We don't have a lot of this stuff going on at the present time.
If you want to entertain a motion to go with what you got with a public hearing next month, then that's fine.
Don't we need John's point on item 4, page 1? I think that clarification is pretty important for the public to see.
You could have a motion to fix a date for the public hearing and proceed with the presented draft with the revisions necessary to regarding short-term rentals.
For that we've talked about tonight. You know, short-term rentals, defining the 30 consecutive calendar days for an individual.
Are these two together on one day publicly too much to swallow? So we do one in February, one in March?
Yes. Subjectively, I don't see the problem, but that's the commission's decision.
Y'all want to
this in place for next summer, we need to have this done and out by April.
I just don't think, we've had public hearings in the P&Z before, and they're generally not very large.
Let's have
five people, seven people come, or something like that. I mean, I could be wrong, but...
You're going to have every vacation rental company here on Carolina Cary Beach. They're going to be here.
And any of the local people that own the property.
Is Daryl, are you up for it? Can you handle it? Those minutes?
And I'll take that back. I think we need to have all this firmed up by March, so we've got time to fix an application, get it out there, and start the fun part.
All right, I'd like to hear what the public has to say.
Come up here, throw it out there, and see what people show.
And what they have to say. They may all show up and say, well, they don't like G, but they're fine with everything else. I mean, you just don't know.
Okay, I'll make a motion that the draft vacation home rental provided by Mr. Eldridge be revised a second time and called a short-term rental proposal, and that it be made a second item on the February special meeting.
I'll second that motion.
Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And thank you.
I would suggest that it be taken off of the council's discussion.
I have made a note to do that, and I will do that, Craig. I'll take it off the agenda.
Okay, new item. Beginning of the year, we always have an election of officers for chairman and vice chairman of P&Z. So, that's
would you like to do it again?
All right, yeah, we have a great time.
So I hear a motion.
But you know, don't take it personally like that. I mean, I'd be glad to do it again unless somebody else wants to do it, certainly. I mean, I have no problem. I've done it for 2 years now. So, you know, I'm glad to do it again. But if somebody else certainly wants to be chairman, I have absolutely no problem with that.
I'll make a motion that the sitting chair and vice chair will be reelected.
We should ask. He's willing to do that.
That's the last. We'll just push back.
Step forward.
Whoever wants to volunteer, step forward.
It's okay with you.
I guess we can do them one at a time. I make a motion that
we can do both.
So we can do both. Okay.
That the chair and vice chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission be reelected for the calendar year 2015.
Any further discussion? All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Member items. I've got one. Okay.
I sent an email to Craig and John and Copy Josie a few weeks ago, which immediately went to Craig's spam folder. He didn't get it. 2015 is the year of changes for my wife and I. We're shutting down Windjammer Construction. We've got 3 grandchildren by the end of the year. We're going to get a residence in Asheville. I don't know if it'll be full-time, part-time, if we're going to keep one here. Bottom line is I'll be stepping off the commission probably next month. It will be the last meeting for me. I'm just going to... I was going to spend some time in France with my brother after today, probably not. But all that other stuff will keep me busy. But we'll be in California, we'll be in D.C., we'll be here, we'll be in Nashville. So my time has come to an end on the commission after next month.
But you'll be here next month?
Yes.
Okay.
Unless you don't want me. Get a quorum with Howie. Whatever you want.
There's
somebody to blame.
That's right.
This was all his fault.
How many years has it been? 4?
No.
3?
2.5, something like that. I can't remember. Josie, we're done. I can't remember. Time flies when you're having so much fun.
The mechanism for, just to remind everybody, we had a shift about 3 or 4 years ago where we no longer make recommendations for the council. The council makes their own recommendations to themselves for P&Z. So that's where it stands right now. So I guess the appropriate thing is that
council be notified that there will be a vacancy, and that they should go through the process they go through to identify the openings and interview people and, you know, get a position. Starting with our March P&Z.
Well, they may want to do their interview at their favorite.
It's really that happened. Yeah.
So if they were to do it, then that person would be identified as far as meeting goes.
Right. I mean, generally, there's a notification. I think there's kind of a continuing notification about vacancies, so that would probably need to be posted fairly quickly, I would say.
We might turn until the Nancy's come on. Yep.
Yeah, they'll know.
Well, Nancy know, and let the others know, and start to think about that sort of process.
Okay. Clearly, anybody that you think would have value. Can't ask us anymore. There's a history before you joined.
Yes.
We will not ask us.
Better to go on the record than that one.
All right. Any other member items? Anybody? Yeah. All right. Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay. Second.
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.